Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And Jeff, today I had the idea of going over a lead that I got from one. It was from one guy who has three properties. He's interested in selling these properties on terms. So he's actually interested in that, in owner financing. He's a landlord. So I just got this lead, and I already put together my cash offers. And so now I want to pick your brain and present this to you and see if we can craft some offers, maybe one or two for each of the properties.
Sure.
And then I'm gonna send him these offers.
Okay.
And we're going to see what happens. But this is a great exercise for me. I brought this up to you on a phone call, you know, prior to this, and you kind of caught on to me. You knew what I was doing. I was going to get you to help me put these offers together so that we can send it out. But really, it's a great exercise for me and for our listeners, because if you get, you know, a lead where it's a landlord and they're interested in selling on terms, what do you do from there? How do you craft these offers, right? So let's go through those. I'm going to pull up the leads I have. Now, these properties are in different cities in Davis County in Utah. So I think I got all the info you were looking for. So
let's start. So I haven't even seen. I don't even know anything about these.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a total blinds kind of deal here. So I will do my best to get you what I would offer.
Okay.
And so what we have to start with is some basics.
Yeah.
So what the first property, so let's just deal one at a time.
Okay.
Okay. The first property, what's the ARV?
So it's a duplex in Layton.
It's a duplex, okay.
Okay. And the ARV, let me pull it up here.
Actually, the ARV isn't even that important to me now that I know that it's in this income property.
So, okay.
What is it? So it's a duplex.
Yep, duplex.
How many beds, baths each unit?
So two bed, one bath each unit. Each unit's about little over 800 square feet.
Okay.
And right now what he's renting them out for is $650 on one side and $750 on another side.
Okay.
The property's in fairly good condition. He just put new siding and a roof on.
Okay.
They each have their own furnace, window mount AC units. One unit's a little nicer than the other one.
Okay.
So one unit could use some cosmetic repairs.
So how much
paint,
is repair
carpet,
cost, do you think?
$5,000.
Okay.
$5,000 in repairs.
And did you look at what the rents could potentially be?
Yeah, so the median rents for a two-bedroom in that area, two-bed, one bath, is $950.
Yeah.
So he's below market, I think.
Sure.
And I think with a little updating, those can come up. And so my cash offer would be, I think it comps at $250. So that's what I think ARV is.
So
is $250.
It's worth $250.
Yeah, okay. $250 to $270. I only found two duplexes that sold in the last year.
Okay.
One was right at $250. Another one that was a lot nicer, newer, sold for over $300. So.
Okay. Before you tell me your cash offer, what is owed on the property?
So he owes $65,000, and his monthly payment is $1,100.
Wow. So it's been a long-term loan that he's just paid down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And is that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, that $1,100?
Yes.
Okay.
PITI.
Okay. Okay, any other pertinent information that are the tenants right now on leases, or are they month to month?
They are, one guy's been there long term, that's on month to month, and I think the other one he said is on a lease.
So one of the things that you'll want to do is certainly, and you can do it prior to making the offer, you can do it after the offer is accepted during a due diligence period, but you want to be clear what the lease is, because if you're locked into these rents for like the next year, you need to take that into account.
Absolutely.
Because you won't be able to raise them. You're going to have to.
Yeah. See, that's something I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, if your goal is to go in there and update these units and, you know, get market rent, then you can't do that on day one if there's a lease in place.
Yeah. So okay. It's something that you want to certainly, like I said, you can ask up front whether you can, at least then you know, hey, should I even be working on this, or do I need to modify my offer based on that? Or after I presented an offer, now during my due diligence, I want to see the leases.
Right.
Okay. All right. So what'd you offer cash wise?
So cash offer is $157,500.
Woo! It's low.
Yeah. It's way low. Yeah.
It's very low. How did you come up with that?
So just taking that ARV, and I think I times it by 0.75, and then minus, I just threw in $30,000 in repairs.
Oh, though it needs five?
Yeah. Well, so this would be like flipping it. I guess I just looked at it like a house and not necessarily a income property.
Okay. And that's going to be the next question.
So what I did is just took that square footage, and it would probably be less than that, but I'd rather have a little more cushion on the repairs.
Okay.
So that would, and that's something I would be looking to wholesale.
Okay. So let's talk about, first of all, what's your exit strategy? So are you looking at potentially holding this? Are you looking at rehabbing it? Are you looking at wholesaling it? What's the exit strategy?
Wholesaling it. Yep.
Okay. So it's important to understand what your exit strategy is before we go and try to put together some offers.
Right.
Because obviously we're going to have to leave enough room in it for someone, a buy and hold investor, a landlord, that would be interested in doing something. And if we are wholesaling, it's typically, 30 days or less. So
right.
We got to make it appealing enough that someone's going to want to come in and either pay cash or, some kind of terms.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Has the owner given you any indication of what he's looking for, what would make him happy in terms of anything?
So he said that he would be interested in kind of more of a shorter term than a long term, but he's interested in looking at both. So he's very open here. He just kind of wants to see an array of offers. So I asked him if he even was interested in a cash offer. He said, yeah, I'll take a look at the cash offer and then some terms offers, both short term and long term. And I said, well, what would you like down on any of these properties? And all he said, let's just start at 10,000 is what he said.
Okay. Which I would tell you, ideal type prospect. And I'll tell you why, because the key right here, especially if we're wholesaling it, is that down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So if he told you he wanted 15% or nothing, so he wanted $40,000 down, it's going to really hinder what you can do with it.
Right.
He wants a smaller down, leaves all the options open.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, I believe your cash offer is way too low.
Okay.
And we'll get back to that, but let's work on the terms offer. And I want to show you how different these are going to be.
Okay.
All right. So first thing is what is this guy making a month right now? So between the rents that he's getting, do we know if there are any utility costs? Is he paying any costs?
Yeah. Water, sewer, trash,
which is typical.
Yeah, so $50 to $100 a month.
Okay, so let's call it $80 a month.
Okay.
And so he's bringing in $1,400.
Right.
And he's paying out $11.
Yep.
Does he manage them himself?
Yeah.
So he's making about $200 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's it. Okay, so there's not a lot of space here, right?
Yeah.
he's not making much, and there's really not, as is, there's no room to, we can't maneuver money. But we do have the possibility of increasing the rent significantly and being able to pay him more,
yeah,
or certainly the same,
right,
as he's getting right now without all the headaches. Is there a reason why he's selling?
I think he's just more interested in the investment, or like just holding these long term for a return on his money. I think,
which he's got quite a bit of equity.
Yeah.
So let's not discount that. I don't know that maybe he's owned it long enough where it's just paid down so much that he really hasn't put a tremendous amount of money into it.
Yeah. And so far, I really couldn't gauge any kind of motivation other than it's just something he's interested in.
Okay. All right. So the first thing that I'm going to do is, so if you were an investor, you are an investor. If you were an investor that would buy this property conventionally, how much money would you have to put down if you were paying? Let's say it's worth $250 all fixed up, which I would say it's probably worth $250 to $270.
Yeah.
If it's rented for $950 a month. That's just me knowing rents and what kind of things would be selling for. But let's keep it at $250. It needs a little bit of work. It's under rented, but he probably could sell it outright for $235 right now.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. So what would a normal investor, if they were going to get a conventional loan, how much money would they have to be putting down?
20%, which is
minimum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
maybe,
which is
maybe 25%.
Yeah, right.
So
minimum 20%, yeah.
So we're looking at like 50, around 50 grand.
50,000, okay. Yeah.
What did he say that he would be open to?
He said, let's start at $10,000 for a down payment.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to come up with three offers here, okay?
Okay.
First offer. Let's offer him his price or close to it.
Okay.
Okay. So let's offer $245,000.
Okay.
That's the purchase price. Now, what I like to do is, since we're offering them the really close to market value, even though it's not rented at market value and may need even a little bit of work, so we're going to keep our down payment on the low side. So how about $13,000? It's a little more than what he was thinking, but not a lot.
Okay.
And that's about 5%.
Okay.
So when we take 245, that's purchase price, minus 13,000, that gives us 232,000. That's our new, that would be our note amount. That's our principal balance.
Okay,
so now I'm just going to play with some numbers really quick. So 232, and I'm just going to put this in my financial calculator. And I'm going to figure out what the payment is if I amortize it over 30 years at 4%. Are you doing the same?
4%, yep, 30 years. Yeah, I'm trying to follow along with you here on my calculator.
So
and you guys should do this too if you're not. If you're in a position where you can pull out your financial calculator, get it out.
Or rewind and...
So just a monthly payment, principal and interest, I got $11.07 and 60 cents.
So at 4%, we're at $11.07. Now he's getting $1,400, but his payment's $1,100.
Yeah.
Do we know what his taxes run on this property?
I don't.
So let's say that it runs $125 a month, okay? So with this payment, we would add 125 because we or the buyer will be paying the taxes on the property, right?
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't really give them any kind of cash flow. So, that's not really, I don't know why he would really want that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, let's change the interest rate to 4.5%.
Okay.
That's $1,175.
Right.
Right? Okay. He's getting 14. He's netting about 12. Here, he would be netting about, he'd be getting about 13.
Okay.
Right? Because he's getting that taxes payment, too, that will be more like $1,300. So he's actually getting $200 a month cash flow, which is about where he's at right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go with that for a second.
Okay.
4.5%. Well, first of all, where do we, if we project that the rents could be 950, so let's be on the conservative side. Let's say 900. Okay.
Okay.
So that'll bring in $1,800 a month, right?
Yeah.
What we know is that that water, sewer, garbage is about 80.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to minus that out. We're also going to we're saying taxes are about 125. Let's minus that out. Let's say insurance is 50. We're going to minus that out. These are all expenses that, no matter what, someone's paying, right?
Right.
Okay. Because it's a duplex, I'm not going to worry about putting in a vacancy factor or marketing or something that you would look at on a bigger type multifamily. Mm-hmm. This is small. If it's in a decent area, it's going to stay rented 95%, 98% of the time. I'm not worried about those costs, okay?
Okay.
So we have about, let's say $250. Let's call it $300 in expenses.
Okay, call it $300.
Now, we may also want to look at a management fee if someone's going to manage it, but it's a duplex, typically easier to manage. So I'm not even going to worry about that.
Okay.
So let's minus the $300 from the $1,800.
Mm-hmm. $1,500.
Yeah. So we have $1,500 to work with. So we've got to figure out a way that we can use that money to pay the seller and still leave enough income
for our end buyer.
Yes, correct. So I can tell already it's very tight.
Yeah.
So let's not be so aggressive and let's call it $1,900 so we can get that extra $100.
Okay.
Okay. So we have $1,600 to work with.
Okay.
All right. So
$1,600 to work with.
If we're going to, and I'm a little bit all over the place, but this is truly how I think about this. Okay.
Yeah.
So immediately I know how much money we have to work with, but we also know that he's got an $1,100 a month underlying debt at that he's going to have to pay each month. It's still got to be worth it to him in some way to do this deal.
To pay that, get a little cash flow.
He's only getting a little cash flow now.
Yeah.
So at least if we can get him that much, maybe a little bit more, and no headaches and some money up front, and he continues to get that cash flow, he's getting the principal pay down, maybe that's something that he would go for.
Okay.
So, but let's think about this, too. So that's the seller side that we're thinking about.
Yeah.
Now let's think about the buyer side.
Okay.
What do we need to do to make this attractive to someone else? Well, if we can offer them terms, that's big, right?
Yes.
If we can offer terms where they're coming with a lot less down payment, that would be great.
Yeah.
If they were making a great cash flow, that would be great.
Yeah.
Really what it is what is their return on investment?
Yeah.
How much money do they have to invest through the down payment, potentially any maintenance repairs that have to be done, compared to how much cash flow they would net at the end of the year. Okay, so let's say, just throwing numbers out here, that if they could net $300 a month, that's $3,600 for the year. We already know we're trying to offer him around 13, mm-hmm. plus we got to get paid, right?
Yeah.
What do you want to make, Jonathan?
15.
15,000.
Yeah.
So we're looking at about $28,000.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah.
So let's take the 3,600 divided by 28,000. It's like a 13% return on investment.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. Nothing super spectacular, but not bad. So let's go with this. Okay. So let's offer him $245, $13,000 down, 4.5% interest. 4.5 would be
$1,175 for principal and interest.
Okay. Let's also, so he's going to get another $125 for the taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's about $1,300. And then we still have $300 left over for our buyer.
For cash flow.
I don't think there's any more money to be, yeah, but there's no other way. If we take more money and give it to the seller, it means less money for the buyer. In which case, that return on investment, to me, it's got to be at least 12% or better to move this property.
Okay.
Or the down payment's got to be really low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's just no more money in this property to give to anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. So that's one offer. I thought we would have three. I think we're only going to have two.
Okay.
So should we recap really quickly just so that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we determined, first of all, that the payment, or that we determined our market rent was
$950 each unit.
Yep, $950. And then from there, we determined what we could still, well, we determined the expenses and then what we could pay the owner on top of his monthly payment.
Right.
And then we determined what kind of return, cash on cash return, we could give our end buyer if they could cash flow $300 a month.
Yep. So okay. let's see if we can make this a little more attractive for our buyer. Just because it's not, is this a huge cash flow? Would you get truly excited about this deal?
$300 bucks, no.
No, it's not a huge cash flow. Here are the good parts. Don't have to go get a conventional loan.
Right.
You're putting down $28,000, which is a little more than 10%. Rather than the 20 or 25.
Okay.
But how long are we going to do this for? Okay. So here's what I'm going to look at. So we think that this property is worth 250, right?
Yeah.
So for someone to refinance and not have to put any more money in it, where are they going to have to be? About 200, 190?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Right?
Yeah, if they were to refi.
So if we do it at $245 and $13,000 down, did he give you a price of what he wanted? He didn't, did he?
No, he didn't.
Okay. So we're already at $232 minus the down payment, right? And we're doing 4.5% interest.
Yeah.
And our payment is $1,175. So let's try a 5-year term. So we're just going to enter in 60 as our N, and we're going to solve for future value. Okay, that's still putting us at 211. What this means is that unless there's some appreciation over the next 5 years, if this property stayed worth 250, you're not at 80%.
Yeah.
So when you go to refinance,
you'd have to put money down.
You'd have to put more money into it. So that's not ideal.
No.
So let's see if
we can get a little more down.
Well, but if we get more down, we're doing one of two things. If we get more down from our buyer, our return on investment
goes
down.
Yeah.
It's less of a deal.
Yeah, so we're trying to make it more attractive to our end buyer.
So let's work on the purchase price.
Okay.
So let's offer 240.
Okay. At the same terms?
Well, let's see what that payment becomes. 227 now is the new principal balance.
227.
Four and a half.
30 year. So I got 1150 for a payment. So 227, 4.5% interest over 30 years.
Okay. What if we did 4.75? That's, well, 4.7 will be right about where we were before.
Oh, yeah. So 1177 is what I got.
So, and if we, again, solve for a five-year term, we're down to 207. So, again, not quite where we want to be, but isn't it possible that this property is potentially worth a little bit more than what we're thinking right now if it's rented for $1,900?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possibly worth $265, $260, $270, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I think we're close enough. And I don't want to keep going down on this purchase price because we're not going to get it accepted. And at the same time, you know, we're raising our rate, which, you know, the seller probably likes, because he's getting close to, or is getting, market rent or market interest rate. But a buyer, really the only thing that the buyer is getting out of this is they don't have to go get a conventional loan. They don't have to put down 20%. Now, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But we're trying to make this, remember, if you're going to wholesale this, we've got to make sure it's going to move quick. So it's got to be like, hey, that's a deal.
Yeah.
So this one is marginal right now.
Yeah.
Okay. It's possible that you could just go in and offer them less money. But the numbers are tight. And when I say that, because of that underlying mortgage payment.
Yeah.
That's what's the problem right now.
Yeah.
If he refinanced this house and, you know, had a $400 a month payment or something, $500 a month. Well, now there's a lot more we can do with this.
Right.
But I don't think that's really what he wants to do. He's trying to get it paid off. He's playing the equity game rather than the cash flow game.
Right.
Okay. So what I'd probably do is say offer number one, $240,000.
Okay.
$13,000 down. I am going to keep the interest rate at 4.5%. Okay. It's going to reduce his cash flow by $25 a month, but let's see if he will bite on it. At least we know we have a 0.25% or, you know, to work with if we had to negotiate. And to be honest, I almost never negotiate interest rate. I mean, very, very rarely. So it just doesn't come up that much. The thing that we'll want to point out is that he's literally making, he's netting about the same amount.
Okay.
Without having any of the maintenance. Yep. Let's remind him, hey, you won't have to do another roof. You won't have to replace another furnace.
Yeah, you will no longer be a landlord.
Right. So, and I think that I would set this for 5 years just because a lot of investors like the longer term that they can get.
Okay.
So here's one of the things that I would like to do when I present this offer. So if we're doing 227, that's our principal balance. We're doing 4.5% interest for 30-year amortization. So our payment's $1,150, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then our balloon payment is going to be $206,928, right?
$206,928.
After 5 years.
Okay.
So what I want to do when I present this is I am going to take $1,150, that's the monthly payment, and I'm going to times it by 60. That's the amount of payments that the seller is going to receive.
Okay.
Okay. That equals $69,000. I'm going to add that to the balloon payment, $206,928. That's $275,928. Plus, the seller also got a down payment of $13,000 for a total of $288,928. If the seller didn't owe anything on this property, that's what the seller would net by doing this for 5 years.
Net after five, what was that amount again?
$288,928. He does have a mortgage on it, so I like to call it gross rather than net.
Okay.
So if it was free and clear, this is the actual amount he would get.
Yeah.
I want him to still see this big number.
Okay.
Because if he thinks the property is worth even market value right now, he's getting another almost $39,000 for it for staying in it for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's one option.
Okay.
Okay. So was that complicated?
No, not really. It's just,
There's some numbers that you've got to run.
Yeah,
to know if they work.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you got to look at one side, or each side individually.
Correct. And where it's complicated is that you're trying to wholesale this.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a buyer, and you have a seller.
Yeah.
If you don't get the seller to agree, you have nothing to wholesale. If you do get the seller to agree, but you don't take the buyer's interests into play, you won't sell the property. So, yes.
Can't move.
Normally, if it's a normal investor, this is for you. You have your own parameters of what you want. You know,
right.
A certain amount of cash flow, or as little money down as possible, or best return on investment, whatever that may be.
Right.
We're basing this on what we believe other buyers would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. So let's do one more example. Okay?
Okay.
So we offered $240,000, which is pretty good, right? I mean, this property is only worth $250,000-ish. If it was rented, it's certainly not rented for where it should be.
Right.
Okay. So let's think of another thing that we could do.
Okay. So offer number two.
Yep. So we already hit the better price. So why don't we go with a little lesser price?
Okay.
But not terribly less. How about 230?
Okay.
Ask me how I'm picking this number.
Out of your head.
Totally.
So 230.
I'm just playing with numbers right now.
Okay.
Okay. So he owes about $65,000.
Yep.
Is it possible that he may want more money than $13,000 down?
Yeah.
It's possible, right?
For sure.
Is it possible that he would like that mortgage to be paid off?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's figure out a way that maybe we can make that happen.
Okay.
So first thing is, this only works if the property's free and clear or it has a small mortgage on it.
Okay.
All right. But what if we did this? And I'm just, again, just taking numbers. But what if we borrowed $100,000 at 8%? That's $666 a month. Okay, what did we decide is the most that we can... Now, if he doesn't have a mortgage, if he was getting $400 a month, that would be a step up for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's try this for a sec, huh? If we were to give him $100,000, his mortgage would be paid off. No more debt, right?
Yeah.
He would get the balance, the difference between the 100 and
the 65 that he owes. Yeah.
Okay.
So about 35.
He'd get $35,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And now he's getting
more cash flow.
Well, we can offer him a little more cash flow and
more.
So let's play this out for a sec. Okay. I just want you to see what this is going to do. Now, his monthly payment is going to be, he's going to get better cash flow, but based on what his debt is still, what we still owe him, isn't really going to be in line with what he could be getting. Let's figure this out, okay? So if we were to borrow 100 grand, mm-hmm. so we're going to ask him to subordinate, which yep. means that...
He goes in second position.
Yeah, we're going to ask him that we're going to pay you 100. We're going to cash out your mortgage. We're going to give you 35 grand, but we want to be able to borrow that against your property in first position. The balance, the 130,000, we're going to pay you, and you're going to be secured with that in second position on your property. Now, when people hear second position, they get all concerned. Whoa, yeah, I'm not in a very good place. But, I mean, isn't he already in second position? I mean, his equity comes after the 65,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, didn't he get 65 paid off? And didn't he get the 35? I mean, isn't it just like he borrowed 100?
Right, yeah.
So, who cares? I mean, why is that so risky?
Yeah.
Except that he doesn't have to pay that 65 or 100.
Yeah.
Now it's coming from the buyer yeah. rather than him. So right.
We're on the hook.
Yeah. So let's make that clear. Okay. Really, the only time it ever becomes an issue is if it was in default. And so what? So he brings a current at 100. Goes and sells the property. I mean, doesn't it get the same amount of money out of it?
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it's really not that scary, yeah. but I think people make it out to be. So let's look at this. Okay, so do you think it's possible, Jonathan, to go to your local RIA and stand up and say, hey, I've got a property I'd like to buy. I am looking for a private lender that would like to make 7-8% on their money, lending on a $250,000 property. I want to borrow 100 in first position.
That's a good deal.
40% loan to value.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone would be interested in using their savings or retirement account to do something like that?
For sure.
Like, this would not be difficult to find hard, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say worst case scenario, we're paying someone 8%.
Okay.
Okay. And that this is, they're getting a monthly payment.
Yeah.
So $666.67 a month. And all I did was take 100.
100,000.
Times 0.08.
Okay.
Equals 8,000 divided by 12.
Yep.
That's our monthly payment.
Interest only.
Okay. So we already know that we're planning on getting like $1,900, right? And we had like $300 in expenses. So we've got $1,600 to work with.
Okay.
Okay. Do you see how important it is to know this up front?
Absolutely.
So now we've got about $940 to work with, right?
Yeah.
So let's give our seller $450 a month out of that.
Okay.
So how much was he making before?
Like 200.
So we're more than doubling
yeah.
his income. And he got 35 grand up front.
Yeah, 35K down.
But here's where we want this to work out better for us.
Okay.
If we pay an interest rate on this note, so what's the note left to the seller right now? If we're offering him 230 and we're giving him 100, we still owe him 130.
Yeah.
The problem with this is that we also, so do you see right now that if you're wholesaling this, what's the only money that has to come out of pocket from the investor?
The down payment to us or
our wholesale fee, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So they may only be in that. You only wanted to make 15? If they take this offer, you could make 20.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but here's the key thing right now is that this is a great deal, the way it could be set up. But if we structure this for 4 or 5 years, the payment of $450 on a $130,000 note is pretty low. It's not paying down very much. And the problem is, in 4 or 5 years, the investor's going to owe pretty much the same amount or close to it, that they bought it for 5 years prior.
Okay.
So we have a couple of choices here. We can try to lower the price a little bit, which we probably could. We could probably come in at $225 if we wanted to. Or why don't we just make $450 a principal only payment?
Okay.
So 450 times, let's say 4 years. That's 21.6 in payments. So that's pretty much almost 10% down. So you would be at about 209. This property is worth a minimum of 250, 260. Isn't it almost where we were with the first option?
At the beginning, yeah.
So what if we just went 5 years? It's 27,000.
Pay down.
Yep. So
a little
we're
better.
We're about 203. But remember, the only money that the investor has in it is the money up front.
Yeah, the wholesale fee.
Yeah. Plus, how much money are we leaving on the table for the new buyer now? So we have $666 plus $450 plus $300, right? The $666 is what we pay our private investor.
Yep.
$450 is what we pay our seller.
Yep.
And $300 in expenses. So now it's almost $500 a month.
Yeah.
Right? So let's call it $450, just conservative. $450 times 12 is $5,400. You want to make 20 grand? Do you want me to just up your wholesale fee by 5?
Yeah.
27% return on investment with $20,000 to you.
Wow.
Do you think that would be a little easier to sell than the first option?
Way easier.
Yeah. I like this one. So now you got to see if you can go get it done.
Okay.
But you're offering $240, $230. I still think your cash offer is way too low, and here's why. Because it's not a rehabber that's coming and buying this. So, you know, you could probably be at 195, be able to sell for 210. It's, you know, you're selling it at 85% loan to value. That's a deal for someone. And here's how you can quickly and easily figure it out. Let's say you're figuring you were going to sell this for 210.
Yep.
Someone puts down 20%, so let's just call it 40,000. If they were going to go get a new loan, what's interest rates now on a non-owner occupied? Do you have any
five,
idea?
Five and a half.
Let's say 5.7. So their payment's about $1,000. Would someone pay $1,000 a month? I mean, now they had to put down. So let's say they're going to make 13, let's say 550 a month times 12, that's 6,600, but they had to put down 20%.
Yeah.
Divided by 40,000. Oops.
16.5%.
Think someone will buy that?
Yeah.
Yep. So you don't have to. If you come in that low, that may be a little bit insulting. You know, maybe you come in around 183, 540 or something like that. But with the idea that, hey, I can come up to like 195 if need be. But here's the strength of these offers is that you're at 240, you're at 230, and then, you know,
183 cash.
Or whatever, or 195 or whatever. There's a big spread there. But let the seller tell you what works best for them. But which one of these do you think you want accepted?
The subordinate. Absolutely. The seller taking a second position.
I would agree with you. So that might require a little more explanation. Now, I'm not going to tell the the seller, and you could do a 4-year or 5-year balloon, whatever would make more sense for the seller. But I'm not going to tell, in the first one we said, here's what you were going to gross. I'm not going to do that on the second one. Why do you think that is?
On the offer number 2?
Yeah. Any idea?
I don't know why.
I'll tell you why. We're offering principal only. He's grossing the purchase price, $230.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's not getting any more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't really want to point that out.
Okay.
What I'm pointing out here is that, hey, I'm cashing out your loan. I'm giving you more money up front, and I'm giving you more money every month.
Yeah.
That's what I want to point out.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not trying to deceive anyone. I'm just trying to show, here are the strong points of these offers.
Yeah.
First offer is, hey, you're going to get, you know, $39,000 more than what the property is even worth if you fixed it up and re-rented it for the higher rent.
Yeah.
That's a good reason to look at this. Second, you're going to get more cash flow. I'm going to cash out your loan. You're going to get a bunch of money up front.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about what you're going to actually end up with.
Yeah, and what you're going to gross on that one.
Yeah. Well, and actually it would be net.
Yeah.
Yep. But he's netting $230 over 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Either way.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's stop that there. Property number one. That is so creative. Thanks, Jeff, for walking me through that. Like, it gets my mind thinking about the things I need to consider or take into consideration when crafting these offers. And to me, that subordinate, you know, the seller taking a second, that's the most creative offer out of those two, in my opinion, just because I'm able to get more down as a wholesaler, $20,000, and we're able to get the seller more down and net him more money a month in cash flow if that's what he's looking for, which I think is, you know, because he's a landlord, I think that is what he's looking for. I could be wrong, but.
Well, and you'll find out, hopefully, really what the number one goal is, to present these three offers and have him choose one.
Yeah.
Number two goal would be, all right, he's not ready to choose one, but he's giving you a direction where
to
he
go
wants to go.
Yeah. Very good point. Well, guys, I hope this has been helpful for you. If you're able to follow along and use a calculator, I definitely would do so as we're running through the numbers. And if you're trying to use creative financing, you have to go through the exact same process as we just went through here. I'm lucky enough to have Jeff right next to me to walk me through it. But again, the premise of this podcast is me learning from you, Jeff, and this is very helpful. So I hope this is helpful to you guys out there as well.
Expect my fee will be higher if they take the subordination one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. You can reach us at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Again, that's www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We also have a hotline. If you want to call, leave a comment, present a deal. If you have any comments or any topic ideas, we're looking for them. So that number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. Thanks so much, and until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.